I'm We honor our veterans today. On this Veterans Day weekend, we give thanks, and we are truly, truly thankful for those who have served. We remember, and we appreciate your sacrifice. Before we get into the message this morning, let's ask our middle school students, middle school momentum. You can meet Blake right back there at the middle. He is waiting on you, and off you'll go for that. Parents, you'll pick up your middle school student right over here in the foyer of the kids' wing, right behind me. Hey, I'm going to pray and ask a blessing over all of those who have served, and I'm going to pray and ask God's blessing over this message as we begin a new series this morning. Will you pray with me? Lord God, thank you so much for being so very good to us. One of the ways that you are good to us is through one another, and maybe most especially, you have been good to us through our veterans. Lord, those who have been willing to put their lives on hold, put their lives on the line, Lord, for our freedoms. And we give you thanks. We give you thanks for them, their commitment, their service, their sacrifice. God, I pray that today they will feel honored, that they'll know that we remember, that we honor what they've done. May your blessing rest over them and their families. Be with us today, God, as we open your word. I pray, Lord, that you'll teach us and guide us. Give us a peace that can only come from you. We ask these things in your name, Jesus. Amen. This series is really birthed out of the concerns of my heart. And one of the chief concerns of my heart these days is to see how many people are struggling with anxiety and with fear. We have a crisis of anxiety going on in our world these days, especially in our young people, where there is time and time again challenges, problems, difficulties that they are facing that can sometimes feel very overwhelming to them, so much so to the point where they are really and truly struggling in school, struggling in their personal lives, just struggling in general. Now, of course, this isn't only young people that struggle with anxiety, because we all do. We all have fear, we all have anxiety, we all have these things that kind of threaten to overwhelm us in our daily walk with the Lord. Anxiety is something that affects everybody. Fear is something that affects everybody. Here is my goal for this series we're calling Anxious for Nothing. It's to get us to take our eyes off of the scary stuff, recognizing that yes, it's gonna be there, we're gonna have to deal with it, but to fix our eyes on the stronghold, on the truth, on the authenticity of who Jesus is, rather than anxiety and fear, which actually has no power to hurt us, even though it can very much feel like it does. What do I mean? How many of y'all have been to a haunted house? Been to a haunted house? Yeah, oh, pretty much everybody. I went to my last haunted house when I was in like sixth grade. That was enough for me. We were standing in the line. I remember it like it was yesterday, and we're waiting to go into this big, fancy haunted house in the town where I grew up. And I was excited as a kid, thought, oh, okay, well, this will be kind of fun. I never really liked scary movies, and I still don't, but thought, okay, this will be cool. We're there with my friends and stuff. And we're standing in line, and all of a sudden, I hear the sound of a chainsaw. And I look, and there is literally a dude chasing us out of the line with a chainsaw. And I said, well, that's just about enough of this, right? Not my kind of idea of fun, but, you know, I was a dude, and I was with my friends, and so I had to just power through. I had to power through it. It looked tough. And so we go through the whole thing, and you know how it works in a haunted house. I mean, that is scary. Like, they're jumping out at you, they're waving things at you, they're chasing you with chainsaws. I mean, just legitimately, that's enough to scare you. They're doing what you're paying them to do, right? They are scaring you. Again, I ain't paying nobody for that, y'all. You can do that if you want, but not me. All right, so this is what they do. And you go through the thing, and a lot of people, I mean, you see how some people go through these things. There's like videos online. They go through this, and they're like in tears, and they're screaming, and they're shutting down. That'd probably be me, so I don't do that. And they go through it, but then what happens at the end? What happens at the end of the haunted house when you're out there with your friends? In the whole time, you could be going through that thing and you're scared. There's things that are happening all around you and you're afraid. But the moment you and your friends kind of step out of that, what happens? You're laughing, you're smiling, you're joking on the person that was more scared than you were, right? You're having fun because suddenly you're on the other side of the thing that was scary. Now look, you know when you're going through that haunted house, part of what gives you the ability to walk through that is that dude with a chainsaw ain't really gonna cut off my arm, right? I mean, it would only take one arm coming off for you to be like, yeah, no, I'm good. No more of that. No more, only one. That's all you get, crazy guy with a chainsaw. You know that he can't what? He can't touch you. And so because of that, you're going through it and you're saying, all right, well, we can kind of I'm going to still be kind of scared, but I'm going to get through this. I'm going to be fine. And on the other side, we'll say, oh, that was fun. We made it through, even if we were kind of scared in the middle of it. And that is the mentality that for us as believers, we have to adopt about this world. Now, you know and I know that unlike a haunted house, our fear and the challenging things that we face are real. I don't mean to diminish them. I don't want to diminish in any way, shape, or form the things that you struggle with, the things that you have fear of, and your anxieties. I'm not here to do that. But what I am here to do is to get you to think about them differently, to get you to take a perspective that says, you know what? Ultimately, I know those things do not have power over me. It's a simple truth. This world is scary, but God is with you in the midst of it. It's scary, but God's with you, right? When anxiety creeps in, will you remember God's promise to be with you, and will you lean into the truth of Scripture that teaches and tells us who God is? I've already explained to you and reminded you, because I know most of you know it, we have a challenge of anxiety all around our world, and especially in our country. And as I've thought about this, as I've thought about how have I faced anxiety before, how have I progressed through it, what are the truths from God's word that have helped me, and I've tried to let that be what's going to influence this message series the most. But I started thinking back to some of the times in my life when I've faced anxiety, maybe faced anxiety the most. Sometimes it's when I get to be up here in front of you. You know, I've had young people ask me before, hey, so do you get nervous when you're going up there? I say, yeah, I do. I don't get as nervous as I used to, but even today, I still have the little bit of, you know, little butterflies, just a little bit. They don't go quite as crazy as they used to, but they're still there. You feel that. And here's what I think about that. I think that's a good thing because it sharpens me, gets me ready, makes me lock in, makes me focus on God and his strength and his ability and not my own. And that's always my prayer before I get the opportunity to stand up here in front of you, that it won't be my voice that you hear, but that it will be the Lord speaking through me. And that reminded me, as I was thinking about that, it reminded me of the times when I used to play sports. I played basketball when I was in Bible college, and I loved that. It was a great time. I got to compete, and I just loved that. As a competitive person, that was a really fun time for me. But I can remember in the midst of that, I would get a lot of anxiety before a game. And again, the butterflies were like really going crazy, right? And I can remember that feeling, the queasy stomach. Right, I'd very much be in my head about the game. You know, how am I going to play? And am I going to just catch the ball and throw it right out of bounds? You know, am I going to forget how basketball works? You know, all of these kinds of things that are in your head when you're feeling that anxiety. And I thought about that time, and I thought about there was really two things that helped me. And the first thing was, on the basketball court, it was act as if. And I just thought about how applicable that is to my day in and day out life, and how applicable it is to a lot of young people right now, that instead of acting as if, as they face anxiety, they are instead allowing themselves to be overwhelmed by it. Sometimes you just got to stick your chin out there and face something head on. And the Lord will give you the strength that you need, especially if you are preparing yourself in the Lord day in and day out. You will be even more equipped that then it will be more than simply an act. It will be you putting your chin out to this world, to Satan himself that would seek to drag you down by fear and anxiety and saying, no, I've got this with the Lord's help. Act as if. I can remember in warm-ups, I'd be thinking about that when we were warming up, shooting the ball or making layups or whatever it was. Act as if. Be confident. Believe. And the other thing that I found in a game was ultimately to get in the game. Because before the game, you'd be seeing the spectators. I'd call them a crowd, but it was a Bible college audience. It was not a crowd. We'll just call them spectators, the few people that were there. And you could hear them, though. Yes, even in a Bible college, sometimes they'd be talking to you. They'd be talking a little junk here and there. You'd be watching the other guys. You'd feel some of that intimidation. But the moment that you got into the game, that faded. And when I'd get into the game, I would fall right back into line with, oh yeah, you've done this 1,000 times. You've shot 100 of these shots. The people that I could before hear, I didn't hear them at all. And I was just in the midst of it. This is a reminder to us to not allow ourselves to shut down, to not allow ourselves to be overwhelmed. Right? Act as if and get in the game and trust the Lord to give you what it is you need when you're facing fear and anxiety of any kind. God is able. This is the reminder to us. Our key scripture this morning is from the prophet Isaiah, and he's speaking to the church in the midst of this really, really difficult time that they're going through. I want to read this to you. Listen to what Isaiah says. Isaiah 54:10. He says, though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, right? The mountains are shaking, the hills be flattened, right? Everything is just falling apart. This is the voice of God now. He says, yet my unfailing love for you will not be shaken. This is not Isaiah telling you that his love for you will not be shaken. He's saying, this is Isaiah telling you that God's love for you will not, cannot be shaken no matter what comes. You need to remember this. He says, nor my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, who has compassion on you. Mountains will shake, the hills will be removed, but his unfailing love can't be shaken. What does that tell us? The circumstances all around us can be a mess. But what's real, what is truly knowable, is that God is not going anywhere. You can count on him. He is with you. He says, my covenant of peace with you won't be removed. He has compassion for you. He cares about you, and he knows what you are going through. You know, Isaiah, when he's speaking this to the followers of God, they are in a time of darkness, of feeling like, where is God? Because God had allowed them to go through a time of persecution. The Israelites had been conquered by their enemies. And they must have been like, God, where are you? Why are we going through this? You made us these promises that you'd be with us, and here we are, and we're struggling. Where'd you go? And what God was basically saying to them was, yes, you didn't obey me. You didn't do what I told you to do. And so now you're going through some tough times. You're going through difficulty. And sometimes that will happen to you and me, and God will allow us to go through things. And oftentimes we know that we have been our own worst enemy. We've brought some of that on ourselves because we don't always make good choices. Now, it is not always the case that the things that we face come about because of something we did. Oftentimes it's something somebody has done to us. Or oftentimes, it's simply the circumstances that we live in the midst of a fallen, broken world. And so we have to determine, how are we going to make it through this? When the world is scary and anxiety rises up, I'll remind you again that God is making a promise to us that his compassion will not fail. We oftentimes think about the biblical patriarchs, Abraham and Isaac, Moses, King David. And we think about how much further along spiritually they were than us. And in many ways they were. But they were far from perfect. All of them had issues. All of them had problems. King David, maybe chief most among them, and he was a man after God's own heart, but he had a man murdered so he could take his wife. It's pretty bad. And David found himself in his life having to confront multiple times very anxiety and fear-inducing issues, just like you and I do. His were, you know, in many ways worse than ours. I want to just read to you something that he says in Psalm 27, 1 and 2. Listen to what King David says about overcoming anxiety. He says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Listen to that, right? The Lord is my light. Can I say that about myself and about the things that I'm going through and how I face anxiety? Can I say, no, I'm confident of God and I'm not scared of anything that comes because I know that God has got me. What do I say in the midst of facing fear and anxiety? What do I run to? Do I run to my own strength, or do I run to the strength of the Lord? Because what David reminds us of is that the Lord is the stronghold of my life. Far too many people in the world have decided that I am the stronghold of my life. And it's no wonder that so many people are overcome by fear and anxiety when they are relying alone on their strength. But if I remember that the Lord is my stronghold, if I approach fear and anxiety differently than the world does, then I have a wellspring to tap into that the world does not have. But how many Christians in this room, not just out in the world in some abstract sense of the word Christian, no, no. How many Christians in this room right now are facing fear and anxiety, troubles, turmoil, and you've decided, whether purposefully or not, that you are your own stronghold? Now, I can handle it. I got it. I'm going to figure it out. Because let's just be honest. What oftentimes happens when we face anxiety, when we face fear, what's the natural thing we usually do when that happens? Do we go and we run to other people, or we automatically always run to God in our prayers? I mean, most of us don't. We look inward, don't we? We keep it to ourselves. We wrestle with it. We struggle with it. We doubt ourselves. Sometimes we doubt our faith. We doubt our God. And all of that, I think, comes out of a heart and a mindset that is stuck in the haunted house, overcome by the circumstances, and losing perspective. As a Christian, you have a perspective over the things that you are facing that helps you see right through them in ways that the world can't. And when you see right through them like a light blazing through the darkness, what ought to show up in your mind's eye is a stronghold. The stronghold of Jesus Christ that you are looking forward to, looking ahead to, and believing upon. Friends, it changes the way you face things. You know, when you read these articles in magazines or in books about facing anxiety and fear, a lot of times what those books and magazine articles will tell you is to focus on the idea that the things that you are afraid of are unlikely to happen anyway. It's like the great theologian Tom Petty said, right? Most things I worry about don't happen anyway. And in some ways in my life, I have found that idea helpful. And I think in some circumstances, that's an okay approach. But I want to share with you something from where we are today in this psalm that David wrote, in Psalm 27. I want to share with you, in the time we have left, about how David approaches anxiety and fear, not from a mindset of, yeah, well, that's not likely to happen anyway. It'll be all right. Instead, here's what David does. He meets it head on. He names it. What's it? Anything that could come. Maybe in some ways, even his deepest, darkest fears. Listen to this. Psalm 27, 5 through 6. I just want you to see what David does, because I think this strategy is one that can help us. I think it's one we can actually apply to our lives. He says this, 27, 5 through 6. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. What is the day of trouble? Well, he probably means that not just in a micro sense, like, yeah, I might have a bad day. I think he means this in a broader sense. Like whatever could come eternally, whatever might come to bring suffering upon him and his people in a broader sense. In the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling, no matter what happens. That's what he's saying. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent, and he will set me high upon a rock. Remember, David spent some part of his early life facing some really tough things. I mean, he fought a giant. Then he has to fight a king because Saul, King Saul, wants to have David killed when he starts to see David, the future king, as a threat. And so David has to go up into literal mountains. I've seen these cliffs. And I've seen these caves where David actually hid in Israel. He went to these physical places because he was hiding out from Saul and his minions that wanted to have him killed. And so he says, the Lord will set me high upon a rock. See, he knew about God's protection. He knew that it wasn't so much himself or a cave or anything else that had hid him and protected him. Who did he know had protected him? God himself. And he's remembering and he's believing and he's looking forward that no matter what comes, God, I believe. And a lot of you this morning need to remind yourself of that simple truth. God has brought me through a lot. So I'm going to praise him. Verse 6, he says, then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. Right? The day of trouble, enemies surrounding me. It says, at his sacred tent, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I'm going to find a way to praise God and worship him no matter what comes. He says, I will sing and make music to the Lord. Verse 10, because he's not done. Verse 10, here's what he says. He says, though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. The day of trouble, enemies surrounding me, my own mom and dad disown me. Some of the worst things that could happen could be on the horizon for David. Or things similar to that that he's faced before. What he is saying is, whatever comes, God, I'm going to trust you. Whatever happens, I'm going to stand firm in you. I'm not only going to say, well, that's not likely to happen anyway. And look, for some people, that's a healthy way to help process some fear and anxiety. I don't think it is totally without merit. I've used it myself. But what I think is really interesting about David's approach here is to say, whatever happens, whatever thing I'm afraid of, why don't I just lay it out there? And why don't I just say, God, I'm going to trust you no matter what. I'm going to believe. I'm going to be strong. I'm going to stick my chin out and act as if. And then I'm going to get in the game because I'm going to know, Lord Jesus, that you are my stronghold and you will not fail me. I'll fail. I'll come up short, but you won't. So why don't I just go into the fight reminding myself about that instead of sitting in the corner worrying about what could be? That's a position of no confidence. And I'm going to remind y'all of something this morning, church. There is no one who should be more confident than a Christian. The world can laugh at you. The world can tell you that, you know, you believe in fairy tales. The world can ridicule what it is you believe, all they want. Your confidence comes from knowing, from believing in your heart that Jesus is who he says he is, that he has been faithful before, and you can believe that he will be faithful again. He has earned your confidence. He has earned his place as your stronghold. And so no matter what you will face, no matter what comes, brothers and sisters, listen, you can live a life that is anxious for nothing. Not by your own strength, not by your own might, not by your own power, not only simply by a mindset, but because of God. You tap into a confidence that is beyond yourself. It's beautiful. It's powerful. It's worthwhile. How many, martyrs for the faith have there been over the couple thousand years of Christianity? I don't know the number, but I know it's large. And something that I have a high level of confidence in, mostly because I've read a lot of the stories of people who were martyred for the faith, who were killed because of what they believed about Jesus. These were people that had a high level of confidence in who their stronghold was. And that no matter what came, the Lord was going to be enough for them. I'm going to just finish with this story, and it's really about one who became a type of martyr for the faith. Not killed at the hand of men, but killed by circumstances. His name was Alan Gardiner. He was a British missionary in the 1850s. He was off on his mission to go to South America. He was going to go there and he was going to do the work of Christ, proclaiming Jesus and having this mission, being on the mission field. Powerful, positive, awesome. And he gets on the ship, as lots of people did back in the 1850s, and as, you know, quite a few did in those days, he was shipwrecked on an island of both him and those who were with him. So he and his companions did what any of us would do. They tried to stay alive for as long as they could, hoping that somebody would find them or find them alive. But nobody ever did. He died, Alan did, far away from everybody, far away from his loved ones, far away from his family, dying of thirst, dying of hunger. It's a horrible, horrible way to go. Just to be honest, it's terrible. But when they discovered Alan's body on that deserted island, next to his body was his notebook, his journal, his Bible as well. They opened up his journal, and on the very last page, he had written out Psalm 34, verse 10. And here's what Psalm 34, verse 10 says. It says, the young lions do lack. The young lions, yeah, they do lack and suffer hunger. But they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Right underneath it, the very last words that he penned in his journal before succumbing were this. I am overwhelmed with a sense of the goodness of God. What? I mean, how? You're overwhelmed by the goodness of God. You're dying alone on an island, and you went on a mission trip with your life to the mission field to give yourself to the cause of Christ and to go and to do the work he had called you to do. And you're dying alone on an island and you're overwhelmed by the goodness of God. What is wrong with you? That's what the world would say. That's what anybody who was looking at it from the outside that did not know God would say. And if we're being honest, it's the kind of question that even us who do would ponder. But he's able to say what he said. I'm overwhelmed with a sense of the goodness of God. Instead of being mad, instead of being angry, even instead of being overcome by fear, he was able to do that because he was dwelling on the one thing. He was overcoming fear and anxiety, not by his own strength, but by the one thing. And the one thing is your stronghold. Alan Gardner's stronghold was Jesus Christ. He knew what far too many do not know. That this world is passing away. That this world, as scary as it can look as it passes by day, as afraid as it can make us, is ultimately no more powerful over us than the haunted house that we wander through. In the end, for the believer that remains faithful to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it has zero power over us, ultimately. So what we do with the time that we've been given, how we live out this life in the midst of fear and anxiety and all of the things we face that, again, are very, very real, how we live out this life now is up to us. How we face it is up to us. My prayer for you and me is that instead of looking to ourselves, we will look to the stronghold, that we will stand in what we know to be true rather than being overcome by that which threatens to steal our strength and our soul, anxiety and fear. Overcome it by placing your feet firmly on the rock that is Jesus, our stronghold. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we know that you are the great overcomer of all our fear and our anxiety. I pray, Lord Jesus, that today we will trust you more, that we will know many of the things that we fear are not ever going to even happen, but Lord, some will. And no matter what comes, we know you are with us. We believe you are able. We believe you are enough. You are our stronghold. Help us put our confidence in you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for this life. Thank you for your love, and we pray your blessing over us today. Amen. My prayer for you today is that if you need to make any kind of a commitment to Jesus, most especially coming to him for the very first time as your stronghold and saying, I believe that Jesus is who he says he is. I'm gonna follow him and put my hope and my confidence in him, giving my life over to him, being baptized into him, having my sins washed away so I can be a new person, so that I can really live my life day in and day out with him as my stronghold. I pray you'll do that. If you're a Christian that's just been struggling to make him and to keep him the stronghold of your life, you're not alone in that. I mean, everybody in this room struggles with that every day. So we're here to remind one another. We are here to strengthen one another. If we could pray with you, we would love to do that. Whatever commitment you might need to make, we're gonna stand and sing this final song. I'm gonna be up front. We'd love to help you. Come on up if we can help. Let's be standing.